Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Vance Havner was a great evangelist, traveling preacher, and had a way with words. And in his message on Revelation 3:11, which says, "There hold fast that which thou hast," he said these words here. It says, "This does not mean a nervous, fearful hold, hanging on to dear life, as though we might lose our salvation. Nothing can snatch us from the Father's hand. But lest we lose our joy, our testimony, and our reward, we must hold fast that which is good," according to 1 Thessalonians 5:21. "Hold fast our confidence and rejoicing," Hebrews 3:6. "And hold fast our profession," Hebrews 4:14. And he goes on to say, "We have a charge to keep." we have a charge to keep. Could I say also today, we have a command to keep as well. And this command that I want to look at this morning is to continue in faithfulness. I've entitled the message today, Will You Continue? Father, I pray that as we look into your word and we see these commands that you have given in areas that we are to continue in, I pray that you would help us to look within ourselves and evaluate if we are actively and faithfully continuing in the things that you have pointed out are important, and the commands that you have given, are we following them in faithfulness? I pray, Lord, that you would help me to share very clearly your truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that does not only indwell us, but Father, empower us to do those things in which you call us to do. And I thank you that you have called me for this today, and I pray that you would help me to be able to do my part. And Lord, each one of us that are here, that we would do our part in listening and responding faithfully to what you say. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Coming from the Wiles Christian camp, there's a sign that you see when you're going out. How many of you know what's on that sign? It says, Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. It goes on with a verse there, knowing whom you have received them, who's taught you those things. It's taken out of 2 Timothy 3:14, and there have been many times as I left out from the Wiles Christian camp that I was reminded that, and I thought, you know, the Lord, you teach us many things from many people, and we can hear your truth that's available to us in the United States. We have many inroads that we can be affected by the Word of God coming from faithful men and coming to our ears, and I pray that we are listening. Because those things that we learn, the things that God teaches us, are things in which we should continue in. The word continue is found 22 times in the New Testament, but there are three Greek words that are translated for those words continue. And those three Greek words are also translated as other words that are very similar to continue. Words like abide or remain, those words are also translated continue, and it's defined or understood as a perseverance there, in an endurance under pressure, to keep on keeping on, to keep on enduring. It is seen in the present tense as something that is to be a continuation of action or attitude, and it is an imperative most often, that we are to continue in. An imperative means a command, not a suggestion, not something just that God would be interested in is desiring us to do, but something that he has commanded us to continue in. And that's what I want to look at some of these this morning. I want us to examine some of these examples of these three Greek words and their translations of continue. The first one is found here in John chapter 8. We'll pick up reading in verse 31. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have this command he's given. He says we are to continue in his word. The word continue here is the Greek word mene. And there are going to be three examples I'm going to look at from that translation. Now, I'm not giving you these words to impress you, because you'll see when I get to the last Greek word, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it. I am no scholar when it comes to Greek, Hebrew, or Spanish, or French, or any other language other than English, and some of my teachers would argue that. But here in this word, we are to continue in God's word. How are we to continue? Well, I think it's important that we understand to continue in God's word, we first have to be involved in reading it. We have to be involved in studying it. We're to study God's word, putting forth the effort that we might rightly divide, understand how it, what it says, how it applies to us. We are to believe it, obviously, because if you can read and study all you want to, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to do you any good. But we can't stop there with believing and trusting it. We've got to also do what? Are you listening? We've got to obey it. We've got to do what it says. And so that's how we continue in God's Word. We read it, we study it, we believe it, trust it, we obey it with our lives. There were two songs that came to my mind as I was thinking that through. And one of them is, our choir sings it sometimes, "You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are." That's a favorite statement of mine in other areas. But if you do not know what God's promises are, how can you claim God's promises? How can you know what He has said to you that is freely given unto us that we can claim, "Lord, You promised this"? We have to know what the Word of God says. We have to know what those things are. Not only that, the other song that came to my mind is, "Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe." What a great statement, and that is so true. One of the greatest ways that we can demonstrate that we believe the Word of God is by doing it. You can say all you want, "I believe the Word of God," but if your life is not being obedient unto it, it doesn't have much credibility that you believe it. And so it's important for us to continue in God's Word, getting to know the Word of God in order to do it. The second verse that I want you to look at is the one that I quoted to you there, or read to you there, of 2 Timothy 3:14 about leaving out from the wiles. "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." We are to continue in the things that we have learned from the Word of God. We're not to depart from them. We are to remain faithful to them. It's not just something, again, that we just believe, but we are to continue in practice. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 11 says, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments." The word "keep" there has the idea of to continue in, to keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day, to do them. Again, you see how God connects the two of them. We are to continue in God's Word in order to do it. We are to remain faithful to the Word. So how do we do that? Two things here, I believe, is involved. The first one is we are to memorize it. Immediately, I've lost some of your attention. Immediately, some of you are starting to backpedal and say, "Well, Pastor, you just have to understand, I don't memorize things well." Well, get in line. I didn't memorize things well either. You know, when I was a teenager, I got saved when I was 13 years of age and thrown right into a tremendously great youth program, protein program in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. My generation was the guinea pigs for Frank Hamrick in developing the protein program. Apologize to any of you guinea pig lovers out there, but he was fine-tuning the program that would go nationally to many churches across the nation and around the world now. And from that, part of the responsibilities that we had in learning was to memorize things. Well, I had a hard time reading, let alone memorizing. When it came to advancing in the ranks from a blob to a rookie, to a regular, to a pro, you had to memorize scripture. You had to memorize certain things. And I struggled to do that. I struggled throughout my high school years with grades. When I got into college, one of the things that impressed me was an evangelist that came and spoke in one of our chapels. And the man had memorized a tremendous amount of the Word of God. I'm not talking about verses or a few verses. I'm talking about entire chapters, sometimes multiple chapters, sometimes an entire book like Galatians. Had memorized it all. And I thought, "Lord, if this man can do that, And of course, he shared with me, with us the steps it took, because he was no genius just to be able to do it real easily. But it took a lot of time and effort on his part. And I thought, Lord, if you can allow him to do that, you can help me to do what I need to. And the same thing is true for each one of us. We have to look and say, Lord, not like Moses said, but I can't speak. But I can't, you know, Moses was backpedaling the whole time as God said that he wanted him to go into Egypt and to deliver his people. And when God says he wants us to do something, you know that he is willing to go right there with us and help us to do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will help you. Anything that he commands you to do, he will help you to do it. Here, one of the parts of us continuing in his word is to memorize it. Memorizing God's word. Start small, go over it often, and put it in your mind. It will eventually stick. And here's a dumb preacher. That's an example. God can do anything, and he has helped me over the years to be able to get God's word in my mind. Continue. Don't depart from it. Put it in your mind in memorization. Not only memorization, but in Joshua 1:8, we're to do some meditation on it. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but or except that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so we are to meditate on God's word. We are to think about it. You know, when you hear a message like this and you go home, then later on, and there's time, you start to think about what God said through the message. But you know what sometimes happens? By Sunday night, if somebody asks you, what was it that the preacher was preaching on this morning? Continue. Continue what? Why? Because we don't think about it anymore. And the devil plucks that right out of our mind, and it doesn't remain. And so we have to then meditate on those things, like the cow chewing its cud. How many of y'all are familiar with that? Some of you have been. I know lunch is shortly away, but if I cannot gross you out, a cow has more than one stomach. And you see them out there, and they're in the field, and they may be grazing, and just eating that grass. And then they'll go over under a shade tree, and they'll be standing there, and all of a sudden, they start chewing again. Where'd that come from? Well, they bring it out of the one stomach, and they chew it up some more, and they put it in the next. And that's that chewing of the cud. And when they do that, it's a good illustration of what meditation is. We hear it now. We're taking it in. Then we go home and we bring it back to our mind and we think about it some more. And so that's what meditation is all about. It is giving a continuation of thought to that in which we have received. So in order to continue in God's word, we need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it in order to do, again, was the emphasis. And then in John 15, just a few pages over to your right there, in John chapter 15, this is the passage of Jesus being the true vine in verse 1. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Darrell Ray read that to us this morning in the scripture reading down through this passage. But I have here, if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word abide there is the same word that's translated down in verse 9. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Abide, continue, same Greek word, mene. It is translated the same. Over in chapter 14, the Holy Spirit is going to dwell, to abide in us. The same idea, the same word. So here we have, in this continue in my love, in verses 9 and 10, we see it connects continuing in his love with continuing in his word. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye continue in my love. You abide in my love. And so it is keeping his commandments. It's doing those things in which he says. We're to read about him, the Lord Jesus. We're to study about him. We're to believe him. We're to trust him. And we're to obey him. This emphasis continues of what we're to do. Continue in my word. Continue in the things that you've learned. Continue in my love. All of these connect back that we're getting to know the word of God in order to do it. There's another word that I want you to see is translated as continue. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Epimena. If you say so. The word is translated continue here in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid is the answer. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so here's this question. Can we continue in sin? Now to understand completely what was being said, we have to back up and look at the last two verses of chapter 5. In verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Let's stop right there. The purpose of the law was to show us what God's perfect standard is. And when we see God's perfect standard as the law gives it, we understand how that we have never been able to attain unto that perfect standard. That's why all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, his glorious standard. And so the law came into place so that I would see and you would see that we fall short, that we'll never meet it, that we cannot. But where it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin was and where I recognize my sin, guess what? God's grace has extended there through the sacrifice of his Son, and he has delivered me from the bondage of sin. He has delivered me from the wages of sin, which is death. He has delivered me unto the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And therefore I have eternal life and I have a home in heaven with God when I pass from this earth. Amen. That's what God has done in his grace to give unto us. Excuse me. And so he asks, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that God's grace can be seen as that much more delivering me? God forbid. No. So here's a negative. We should not continue in sin, obviously. We should not continue in sin. We should not continue to practice sin so that God will appear much more full of grace. Is God, or has God right now in this service, put his finger on a particular sin in your life and saying, you know, what you're thinking of right now, that's what I'm asking you to deal with, God is saying. He has a purpose for you hearing this today. Will you deal with that sin by repenting of it, turning from it, and confessing it genuinely unto the Lord to receive his forgiveness? Or will you stubbornly hold on to it and push it aside and excuse yourself from making a choice? Do not continue in sin. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. 21 through 23. is the next continue that I want us to look at. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. And you that were sometime or at one time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What's this talking about? Well, if you back up through there, you'll see in verse 14, in whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's our Redeemer. He is the Creator, for verse 16, for by him all things were created, they're in heaven and earth, etc. All things were created by him and for him. He's the Creator. He is the Sustainer, in verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or held together, or sustained. It says in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, the first place. And so as our Redeemer, as our Creator, as our Sustainer, as the head of the church, Jesus Christ is that, so that he can be first in our lives, have the preeminence. In verse 20, and having made peace then through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And the word reconcile means to be brought back into a right standing with God. Because of our sin, we were alienated from God. We're enemies of God. And therefore, we read in verse 21, and you that were sometime or at one time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled us when we by faith turn to him for our salvation. In the body of his flesh, verse 22, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which shall we preach to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, let's go back to that word. You've been reconciled unto God if ye continue. Well, what does that mean? That sounds like, Pastor, if I don't continue, does that mean I lose my salvation? Well, we know from other scripture very plainly that that's impossible. As Vance Havner says, no one can take us out of the grip of the Lord. We are in his hand. He gives unto us eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life. Okay? And he gives it, he saves us. It's not us saving ourselves, and he keeps us saved. It is not us hanging on if we continue to hang on. So it's not talking about salvation here at all. But what is he talking about as we look at this? These are the marks of a genuine believer. Do you know that there is a sobering Bible truth that not all people who profess to have received Jesus Christ as their Savior actually possesses eternal life? There are some people that say, yes, I got saved. I remember back when I was in Vacation Bible School as a kid, I got saved back then, and I even went forward in the church and got baptized. I got a little certificate. Yet they have no or little desire to be in God's house. They never pick up God's word to read it themselves. And about the only time they ever pray is, God, help me get out of this mess I got myself into. That's scary. God knows the heart better than we know our own heart. And I'm glad I'm not the judge of whether or not somebody is saved or not by whether or not they come to church and read God's word and pray and do those things in which God says that we're to continue in. But when a person does not continue, when a person leaves out from that decision and does not follow the Lord in any way visible that we can see, it begs the question, was that profession genuine that they made? It's a sobering thought. But here, we are to continue. We are to continue in our following of the Lord. You remember the parable of the soils that Jesus gave? He said there was a sower. He was sowing the seed. The seed represented the Word of God. And there were different grounds, types that fell on. The first one was the wayside. That's where people walked. It was hard, packed down. It had no dirt there really to put roots in. And the birds came and ate it, took it away. The devil snatched it away. It was the definition of that, or explanation of it. There was some that fell on rocky soil, and rocky soil had rock up underneath there and a little bit of soil on top. And because there was a little bit of soil, I mean, it sprang up very quickly there, but because there was no depth there, it could not send the roots down. When the sun came out, it withered away. It did not produce anything of fruit. And then there was the seed that fell amongst the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it out so that it did not grow and produce anything. And those thorns and weeds and everything represented the cares of this life. None of those seed that fell on those three types of soil ever continued and grew and produced fruit. Only the seed that fell on the good soil, the good ground, that grew and produced fruit, evidence. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. And we need to understand that there's some that are not saved that have said that they were. Speaking of apostates, John wrote in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or evident that they were not all of us. There have been people that have come to this church and made a profession of faith and started out, it seemed like they're going to follow the Lord, and then fell away. And to this day, I don't see them in church. I don't see them following the Lord. And again, I'm glad I'm not the judge, but I certainly am concerned as I look for fruit in their life and I don't see it. And I have to say, people, we've got to make sure that we are not in that regard, that we are faithful, that we continue. In John 6, in verse 66, there are some so-called disciples that wanted to follow the Lord and were following Him for a while. After hearing a very difficult teaching that Jesus gave, it says in verse 66 that they went back and walked no more with Him. They did not follow. They did not continue with Him any longer. This past Wednesday night, I shared about keeping the faith. The Apostle Paul says, I fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. The importance of keeping the faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is moving ahead in obedience to God, even when we can't see what He's doing. That's faith. Faith is moving ahead even when we can't see. And continuing in faith is a visible characteristic of genuine salvation. We are to continue in faith. Not only that, but we're to continue in personal holiness and public instruction. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, I read here, and I know our time is fleeting, but listen carefully. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, he's not talking about his salvation there, but the idea I want you to pick up here is he wanted him to continue, but to continue in what? He said, take heed to thyself, number one, and to the doctrine, number two. The doctrine is the teachings. Take heed to yourself. That's personally looking in and saying, Lord, I need to make sure that my life first is right with you and prepared before my public ministry of the teachings of the doctrine can be in line. Whether you are a teacher in Sunday school, whether you work in children's church, whether it's in Bible class in your clubs, whatever it is that you are teaching your children at home, before we can be faithful to continue in our public ministry, we have got to look within inside and make sure that we're right in our private life. You've heard that God wants to do a work in us before he'll do a work through us. And that's what I'm speaking about. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his ministry, and he gathers the elders, the pastors there in the area of Ephesus, and he speaks to them, and he says to them in verse 28 of Acts 20, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, the same words, the same idea, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Bishops is the word. To feed the church of God is the number one responsibility of a pastor, which he has purchased with his own blood. Take heed to yourself, number one, and to the flock, number two. There's always the personal responsibility to make sure that we're right with God first, before we seek to be used of God in any kind of ministry elsewhere. Both are important. Both we need to continue in personal holiness in public instruction. Don't neglect the spiritual needs of yourself while ministering to the spiritual needs of others. God must work in us before he'll work through us. I had another word that I can't pronounce, but it's used in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Can I say just very quickly, obviously, we need to be continuing in prayer. Don't give up on prayer.
Amen.
God wants to hear from you. He has given us his word for us to hear from him. We need both. So could I ask you, with heads bowed right now, the title of this message is my question. Will you continue? Certainly do not continue in sin. Has God put his finger on a particular sin? Are you dealing with it this morning? But we are to continue in our obedience to the Word. We're to get to know it. We're to believe it. And then we're to obey it. It evidences our love for the Lord and our genuineness as a believer. And we are to concentrate on our personal walk with the Lord first, so God can work through us later. Is there something that God needs to work in your life right now? He's trying to get you to see. And in all that you do, don't forget to pray. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Seeking the word continuing in it, doing it, continuing in it, teaching it, continuing in it. Are you faithful to continue? Father, I pray that as we look within ourselves, that we would be honest with ourselves, that we would seek to respond to what you, through your Holy Spirit, is dealing with our lives right now, that you may be able to take our life and use it for you to minister to others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing Invitation, number 177, In the Wilds.